Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our readings this day, especially for the event of the Transfiguration, and it is a reminder to us that you will provide abundantly for all of our needs according to your riches and glory, and that when we have something difficult in our life, you invite us to go away with you so that you can strengthen us in our inner self through the grace of your Holy Spirit to face those challenges with confidence. So we ask you as we enter the second week of Lent to strengthen us in our resolve to let go of anything that's incompatible with your plan for us to grow in love of you and love of neighbor. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the Transfiguration is a wonderful event, and I wrote a little column in the bulletin about my experience going to Mount Tabor in 2007, and it was a really wonderful experience to go up there and to think about this event. And like I said in the prayer, you know, God has moments where he wants to take us away and show us something or do something in our lives, moments of transfiguration. So let me just explore a few ways that we can experience this more in our life as we continue our Lenten journey. And the first thing we have to do is to create the time and space for the encounter with the Lord. We live in an incredibly distracted world. You know, I'm in the middle of my office doing something, and all of a sudden the watch vibrates and it says, breathe. It's like, well, I am breathing. What the heck? And you know, the phone's going off, there's noise all around us, we're very distracted. And a lot of times we start to think in a way that, well, God, you can come visit me in between my trip to the grocery store before I turn the TV on when I get in the door. That's not how it works. God doesn't fit into our schedule. We seek God with all of our heart. And I was hearing confessions the other night for Kennedy Catholic at Lakeview Retreat Center, their spring search retreat. A wonderful experience. More people came this time, and a lot of them weren't Catholic, so I just kind of spent time talking with them, what's on your heart, and praying with them, and taking them through renunciations, because a lot of them, their ears are getting bent by the enemy, you know, a lot of put-downs and shame, but a lot of them said, you know, I don't hear God, so you begin to explore, well, how much time do you spend seeking God? How much time do you spend each day just in quiet, not looking at your phone, not on the internet, just creating the space so that you can encounter him? And a lot of them like, well, not very much. Well, that's why you're not hearing him. You know, we have to go away and have that quiet time. And one of the things I mentioned in the column was, you know, just take a day for reflection. Maybe go down to the waterfront. I love being by the water. It's very spiritual for me since I grew up in a desert. And or go to the Palisades Retreat Center. That's one thing you can do during the day. You don't have to pay anything. You can just go visit the grounds. They have Stations of the Cross. Stay in the chapel. Have a holy hour. But just to get away from your everyday busy, distracted schedule and just seek God, and do you have something for me, Lord? And a lot of times you will. You know, you open your Bible and you happen to turn to a certain passage that just puts a spark in your heart and gives you some new insight about some problem you're having in your life. So we have to create the time and space and seek the Lord with our hearts. Seek and you shall find. And then secondly, you know, we don't always want to be seeking extraordinary graces. The Transfiguration was an incredible event for these three apostles to experience. And the Lord gave it to them because he knew they were going to struggle with the scandal of the cross. So anticipating that, he gave them this boost, this little jolt in the arm, kind of like my double espresso I just had in between masses because we lost an hour of sleep last night. Then one of them just downed to doppio, they call it in Italy. So sometimes we seek extraordinary graces and consolations, but we want to begin asking God for wisdom and insight into everyday things because we miss stuff. You know, there's so much going on in our life that a lot of times we're looking for something out here, and the Lord's like, I want to show something to you that's going on every day of your life that you're taking for granted. Maybe a person or some event or something, and I want to show you that you need to look at the situation differently, but you're seeking everything out here, and maybe God wants to show us something right in front of us. You know, before our parishes split off, you know, we used to be part of St. Our Lady of Lourdes. I was celebrating daily mass over there, and I noticed this beautiful Sacred Heart statue in the back of the church. So when we were visiting over coffee, I said, hey, when did you get that Sacred Heart statue? Well, Father, it's always been here. I'm like, oh, and after turning a few shades of red, for being so clueless, it reminded me that, you know, we're surrounded by things, but I didn't even notice it until I was about to leave, and we were just going to become two separate parishes. So that was a reminder to me, too, in our spiritual life, what am I missing out on? You know, and maybe I need to see people differently, even people in my life that are annoying. We all have those, don't we? Yes. Maybe I need to look at them in a different way. Lord, give me your eyes to see this person the way you see them. You know, instead of, can you just send them away somewhere else? You know? Lastly, we want to sharpen our discernment skills and see through the eyes of grace all of the things in our life. And the amazing thing about our faith is that even traumatic events that maybe we once thought were just bad and nothing good could come out of them can be transfigured by God's grace. I'm thinking of a couple of examples. First of all, Joseph in the Bible in Genesis, you know, he had a horrible time with his brothers. He was favored. There's definitely favoritism going on with his dad and him, and they reacted by, you know, throwing him off and leaving him for dead and then selling him into slavery. And he went through this whole series of disappointing experiences. He was falsely imprisoned, but then he wound up being next to the Pharaoh in a great place of prestige and power. And his brothers came in desperate need to him, and he kind of played with them a little bit, but he forgave them. And he says in the passage there, it says in Genesis, you know, I see that all these things had to happen for me to get to this place. So through the eyes of grace, he saw that even the disappointing experiences, which could have led him to be extremely bitter and to retaliate against what his brothers did, he forgave them. And that story has an incredible happy ending. And because he was willing to go through those difficulties, he was in a position to bless Israel tremendously when they were in a time of desperate need. So you see even the traumatic events of your life in a different way through the eyes of grace when we pray and reflect on them. There's also Job's restoration in Job 42, where he's bantering back and forth with God all those chapters. And then in the end he says, hey, I'm not going to get all this, but I've seen you face to face. And I know, and he says in, I think, Job 19, I know I will see my Redeemer face to face. I will stand on the last day and behold his glory. So he realizes that intellectually he's not going to be able to grasp everything that God went on in his life, but that he trusted in the Lord, and then God restored him at that moment when he finally surrenders. And so that's another thing where all the bad was for something better for him. And then lastly, St. Josephine Bakhita. You know, she was sold into slavery when she was 9 years old, had some very cruel masters who cut her back every night and did terrible things to her. But at the end of her life, she says, and there's a quote, you can look it up online, if I could find the men who sold me into slavery, I would kneel down and kiss their hands. Because if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have become a Christian and then a Castilian nun. And she served faithfully for many years after she became a religious sister. But she saw even those traumatic, difficult, awful experiences in a totally different way through the eyes of grace. So she says that I would kneel down and kiss their hands. Wow, instead of I want to kill them. They hurt me and they tortured me. That's the power of God's grace. And that's what we're looking for during Lent. Grace changes everything and transfigures it. Amen? So because of the ordinary, I want to just end with the meditation. You know, I've talked about The Imitation of Christ as one of my favorite devotionals. And the last book, book 4, is about how to receive communion worthily. And it's all beautiful reflections on the gift of Holy Communion for us as Catholics. And this is just one little section from chapter 2, or book 2, that talks about what an incredible grace it is for us to come forward today and to receive the body and blood of the Lord to strengthen us so we can be his presence in the world around us this week. And I think because this is familiar, we often are not understanding and opening our heart to the fullness of grace that God wants to give to us every time we come to communion. And I say that not just for you, but for me too. I celebrate a lot of masses, and sometimes I'm more disposed and have an expectant faith, and sometimes I don't. So we're always looking to deepen our appreciation for this incredible gift. So this is just a little short meditation on that I want to end with. Rejoice, my soul, and give thanks to God for having left you so noble a gift and so special a consolation in this valley of tears. As often as you renew this mystery and receive the body of Christ, so often do you enact the work of redemption and become a sharer in all the merits of Christ. For the love of Christ never grows less, and the wealth of his mercy is never exhausted. The wealth of his mercy is never exhausted. What a wonderful thought. Amen.